أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، رحمة للعالمين، أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us life, that if He did not give us life, we would not be able to know the glory and the magnanimity, the mercy, the generosity, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these few days that we are on this earth, we've been given a task which most of us have forgotten. We were not put into this earth to do what we are doing, in which we are spending 8 to 10 hours of our day. We had been brought here for a certain purpose, and then we're going to be taken out of this world. We're not going to stay here forever. If we were to just understand this part, that this is a temporary abode, this is not your home, this is not what you were made for. If you can just understand that, a lot of things would become clear for you. The topic that we have decided to speak on, and I know we have our younger brothers who are, 7, 8, 9 years old, and we have the older brothers, and we have our Arabic-speaking brothers and Farsi-speaking brothers. We have a whole mix of audiences. But if a person at the age of 7 can understand what their purpose is in life, the way they will become and what they will become before they leave this world would be much greater than a person who finds out at the age of 40. So it is a topic that which is good for everybody, regardless of what age you are in. If you were to figure out the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, that would help you in living your life for the purpose that He has given that to the prophets, to Imam al-Sumin in the Quran, and also with your intellect you can also understand it. When we look at Quran, there are three different categories of verses that describes the purpose of creation. One category deals with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of His creation, including man, for the purpose of showing mercy to. That Him being in the mercy that He has, the compassion that He has, He wanted to show that. And to show it, He created creation. The second category of verses that deal with the purpose is that He created men and jinn for worship. The third type of verses that are there deal with that the creation or creation of man was done for the purpose of test, azmaish. So how many categories of verses we have? You want me to talk about Pokemon? Or you want me to talk about Beyblade? Then you will listen. So how many categories did I say? Three. One was? See? One was, yes. Those were the questions. So when you look at purpose of creation, in the Quran, you will find that the verses are divided into three categories. One category that deals with the purpose is that we have created because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show His mercy. To show His mercy, He had to have creations. Right? If you want to show mercy and compassion of yours to someone else, this has to be someone else. You can't be showing compassionate and mercy to your own self. True? So you have to have another creation, or you have to have another thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of His creations to show mercy and compassion. Second category, you don't have to be shy. Worship. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبَدُونَ, that I have not created men or jinn other than for worship. The second category deals with worship. The third category is test. Alhamdulillah. So, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that He created life and death so that He can test you among you who are the ones who are going to do the best of actions. Now, are these three categories separate or are they related to each other? Is it that we are only created just to show mercy? Is it that we are only created just for worship? Is it that we're only created to be tested, or these three things are actually connected with each other in takween? Takween means in creation. Physically. That you cannot have one without the other. They are inseparable. Meaning they are connected in such a way, in a chain, that they are inseparable. Now when we look at religion, everybody Muslim here? We don't have any Christians in the crowd. Although last year I had some, but the true story, I had some. And they cried on the Masaib of Hazrat Ali Asghar, and they did matam as well. But we don't have any Christians. Everybody is a Muslim. Yes, alhamdulillah, for the safety of your own self and for your health and for you to stay as a Muslim and read aloud salawat. So what is the definition of a Muslim? A Muslim is someone... Yes. It's okay. You are a Muslim. I asked you first. You said you are. So I'm just asking you the definition. So a Muslim is someone... who believes in Allah. Okay. You see, before, you know, when the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to tell this message to the people in Arab or the... Saudi nowadays, or actually I would call it still Hijaz. When the Prophet was told to give this message, he said, "Kulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." He said to the people that, "Say la ilaha illallah and you're going to be successful." Your success lies in saying la ilaha illallah. Now if the people were not able to understand what Allah is, if they did not have this word Allah, then he would have to first explain Allah and then tell people to say La ilaha illallah. Which means is that the people at that time did believe in Allah. It was not that they did not believe in Allah, they did believe in Allah. But how their belief was that Allah was the Almighty, He was the Creator, but when it comes to dealing with the affairs of creation, of running the creation, there are other gods. Meaning they classified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the highest God, but then they said there are also very little gods that deal with different aspects of running the creation. For example, for rain, you have a specific one. For example, you know, having a good fasal, what do you call it? Having a good crop, you have another one.
You know, if you want to have a job, if you want to be able to get a job, there's another God for that. If you want to have this and that. For them, they had other gods that were dealing in creation, giving to them, were present. The Prophet came up and said, Kulu, say, La ilaha. There is no God. Now what does that mean? There are all the little gods, 360 plus. Yeah. 360 plus, these gods that you have called to be God, they're not God. Kulu la ilaha illa, illallah, other than Allah. Even the Hindus today, they believe that there is one creator. They believe that Allah, or whatever they want to call that name, but the quality that they say, that He is Almighty and He is the creator. But where they have a problem is that they have also little gods who run this world for specific things. Even the Sikhs, they say the same thing. They say Rab Rakha, for example. You guys don't have Sikhs here. Where I come from, 10 houses, 8 of them are theirs. So they say Rab Rakha. Rab is an Arabic word. Rakha means may God protect you. Even the Christians, they believe in one God. But then they say that He also has a Son and there's also Holy Spirit. All three things happen to be the same, which can, like, you know, this is one thing, this is the second thing, this is the third thing, they're all the same. They're not. But all of the religions that you're going to find, right? They all have come to this, that there is one creator, one almighty. But where they had the problem is, to run this universe, there would be little gods who are running it. The Prophet said, no. There is only Allah. Now this created a bit of problem. Why? Because those 360 gods brought a lot of revenue. The people, the Quraysh, at that time they were taking care, and all of those idols, you know, they were where? In Khana Kaaba, at house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they all lived in that place. And they used to charge money to take care of them. And a lot of revenue used to come. Like you have even today, you know, for Hajj, the amount of revenue that goes to the government, the Saudi government, all the people going every year, the money that goes to them, right? All the people that go for Hajj and they get the visa and so forth, and the hotels that are there which get, you know, 5-star hotels, 4-star hotels, and people are there and they have the utmost accommodation and the comforts, just like any other place where you go for tourism and pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is always associated with pain and suffering. And now today it's a matter of getting a ticket, getting to a 5-star hotel, looking through that 5-star hotel down to Khana Kaaba. And they used to get a lot of money. Now, when the Prophet came up and said that, say that there is no other God but Allah, the thing was that if you are going to let go of these 360 plus gods, our revenue is not going to be there. And this is what created the problem for them. This is the thing that created the problem. I come back again. I ask you, what is the definition of a Muslim? That was that brother's fault. He got me all started on. No answer? We're Muslims. I asked you before. There's no right or wrong answer. Any answer you want to give is fine. Okay, there was one that I heard. A Muslim is someone who submits. A Muslim is someone who does not listen to anyone other than Allah. Meaning a Muslim, if that Muslim is going to do something, that Muslim will do that thing if Allah has allowed it to do it. mean, every single action, a Muslim will submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone says that I'm a Muslim but does not submit to the will of Allah. Somebody comes up to you and says, what are you? You say, I'm a doctor. I said, okay, fine. Can you check my blood pressure? And you go, oh, I can't check your blood pressure. Why? Because I just say I'm a doctor. I'm actually not. I'm actually not a doctor, but I say I'm a doctor. Well, you can't do that. When we call ourselves Muslims, and when the time comes to submit to the will of Allah, and we do not submit to His will, when we say that we are Muslims, if you look at the ideology part, the theology part, being that the monotheistic religion, Islam being, though yeah, we believe in one God, who is almighty, laysa kamithlihi shay. That God that does not have anything that is like it. That is our ideology, but you do not become a Muslim. You can become a Muslim just by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So you became a Muslim. True? Really? What happened was, by saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you got admission. Right? You guys have university and this and that, you understand? Let's say I get this letter from the university saying that congratulations, Hassan, you have been accepted in Harvard. Right? And there will be a lot of people who would get very happy. So what? Have you become anything? Not yet. I mean, you're happy that you got the acceptance into that university, but what? You have to go to university, you have to read the textbooks, you have to give the exams, you have to be in the class, you have to go through all of their courses, you have to get all of the credits. After that, what happens? You become a doctor. You have to succeed. You can't fail. If you fail, they don't give you the degree. Like I failed all of my courses and they said, thank you very much for attending the university. Here's your degree of a doctor. They don't do that. So what happens is that if we are born in a Muslim family or we end up saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, we get admitted into the University of Islam. But we haven't reached anywhere yet. There's a whole process now. In this university, you know the textbook? What's the textbook in the University of Islam? Quran. Quran means the book which is recited the most. And actually it is. All around the world, 1.4 billion Muslims recite Quran. It is that book which is recited the most. There is no other book. If you were to take any other book and see all around the world how many people are reading it at one time, you will not find any other book other than Quran. Right, in different time zones, they say that in every hour, every single minute, somebody is facing towards Khana Kaaba and reading. What? Reading Quran. Right? They're saying their namaz, and in namaz, they're reading Quran. But this is something very unfortunate, that it is the most read book in the world, but it is the least understood book in the world. It is the most read, definite, but it is the least understood. So the textbook is, and we don't, you don't disagree with that, do you? Anybody disagrees with that? Because I can give you the Quran and you can read it and tell me what it says. Like this guy was going to cross over the border, right? And the immigration officers, they always check you especially if you look like a Muslim. If you don't look like a Muslim, they don't really bother you with too much. So this guy looked like a Muslim, so they, looked in his car and they found some CDs. They found some CDs and said, "What is it?" They said, "It's my holy book." I said, "Okay." They put it in the CD player, and then the Quran started to recite. And the person said, "What is it saying?" He's like, "I don't know." So the guy goes, "You don't know what it's saying?" He's like, "No, I don't know what it's saying." "So how is it holy to you? If you do not understand what it is saying, how can you say it is holy? Why is it holy to you? Is it holy because for us that we wrap it in a very nice cloth and put it at the top of the cabinet wherever it is the highest place in the house?" There's one guy, he went to an apartment building. It was actually to a person's house. A Maulana went. And he asked for the Quran, and he said that, "I'm sorry, Maulana, I don't have Quran in the house, because the Quran would be disrespected if I have it in my house." So the Maulana was very surprised, and first time he hears that. He says, "Why?" He says, "Because the top floor, a Hindu lives. And I don't want Quran being disrespected, because the feet of the Hindu would be on top of the Quran." Now, is this what our holiness to the book is? Anyways, so the textbook is Quran. Who are the teachers? Who was the first teacher of this university? Who was the first teacher of this university? Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So you guys didn't even know your first teacher. The first teacher who came to teach, and at that time, that university was not really a university yet. It was kindergarten. So you can say that the first teacher of humanity, when humanity was just starting, it was in its initial stages, the first teacher was Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And when humanity became more and more and more intellectually and technologically and also so many other things, when it came to a sense where you could say that the humanity had reached a certain level of maturity, because when you look at the empires that existed at the time of the Prophet, they were quite technologically and philosophically and so many other ways very advanced compared to the Arabs at that time. No offense, they were really, really advanced, right? I happen to be I have Arab blood too, so no disrespect. At that time, it was going to be the last of the teachers that would take humanity to a certain point. Because after that, humanity was going to be left with those who are going to be the representatives of all of the teachers. There was no need to bring out a teacher, but there was a need for representatives who are going to represent all of the teachers. Assalamu alaikum ya Varisa. May peace and blessings be upon you, O representative of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So the teachers first, Hazrat Adam, last Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, representatives of all of those teachers. The first one, who was that? Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawat for him. Your salawat is making me sleepy, and I'm really tired today. So, okay, fine. And the last is Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So now, the teachers are there to teach you. The representatives are there to teach you every single thing that was taught by the teachers. And in every single era, they can be the role models for you so you can become like them. Right? What do you think the exams are in the University of Islam? No, finishing the Quran would be part of the textbook. But once you've read the textbook, right, what do you think, once you've learned from the teachers, what do you think you're going to be tested on? You're going to be tested on this. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah wa Aliyun Waliullah. This is going to be your test. We will test you by taking your wealth away. We will test you by giving you that disease in which it will paralyze you. We will test you with these kids who are going to grow up and become a source of happiness for you, for example. Right? That's also a test. We're going to test you that in front of you there will be two things, the right way and the wrong way, eating halal or haram, and let's see what you do. We're going to test you, lie or say the truth. We're going to test you every single day of your life according to the principles of Quran and the teachings of the teachers and of their representatives. And let's see who passes. A person who does not wake up for Fajr fails the first exam in the morning. Have you ever seen someone like that? I know you are not those people. We're talking about someone who's not present here, who doesn't wake up for Fajr, and that person has particularly, you know, failed the first, and in the morning, first exam failed. Do you see where I'm taking you? That here, the mercy is also there. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is of two types. Anybody knows? Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Rahman means that he will bless and give sustenance and existence and every single thing which is required for any of his creation. Go ahead. Kafir? No problems. You want a 4,000 square foot house? Bismillah. You want a Maserati? Fine. Lamborghini? Sure. You want to be the most famous person in the world who's going to give the best technology that ever existed to the world and your name will be remembered forever? Right? Apple, take a bite. Right? Fine, no problems. Would you like to be the wealthiest person of the world? No problems. Anything you like. The condition here is if you try for it. If you try, whatever you want, you will get. But that's it. 60, 70, 80, okay, we'll give you 150 years. That's it. After that, when you come to me, this will be another mercy of mine, which in you, you will not be there. Because why? Because you never said that there is no other God but Allah, and there is no, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his prophet. So now, this particular mercy is particularly for those individuals who said it or were born in a Muslim family. So that's us, right? So in the happiness that we are now, that we're going to be blessed, even in this world and also in the hereafter, let's read a loud salawat. Basically, what I'm saying is that we are all going to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Nobody wants to die, but everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Everybody's going to go to heaven. You guys, me and you, we're talking now. I talked about this before. I'm just going to do a little bit more explanation. So we all here. Now, we're not talking about other people. We're talking about us. Okay? You're going to go to heaven. No problems. Well, there will be problems, but you definitely are going to go to heaven. It's just a matter of time. It will just be a matter of time. You will definitely go to heaven. What is this matter of time? You see, what happens is that, okay, I lived to be 60. I went into the University of Islam. I gave some tests. I failed some tests. I passed some tests. Now, at the end of the day, my marks were not such that I could be given the degree. But I mean, I attended, right? Right? I attended. So is there no, like, prize for that? Of course. What we will do is this. Because you failed the exams in the university and you did not achieve that degree of submission and then conviction and then being the diehard follower of the representative and the teachers, we're going to give you calamities in this world. We're going to give you cancer. We're going to give you, you know, these diseases that people will not be even want to be close to you because your body would have that sort of smell coming out. And guess what? This would be the extra credits. Meaning you go through these diseases and these extra credits that you're getting are, you know, your sins that you had committed and the exams that you failed are purifying them. So now if you had that many, like, low marks, you're okay now, let's go to heaven. But if it was such that, you know, there are people, don't believe me, there are people. They live to be 70. The only time they actually go in class and give an exam, like, for example, Salah exam, is when it is Eid. Once a year. Even there are some people who in the exam of doing the azah or the morning of Imam Hussain, they only do it for 4 days or 5 days. Or for 10 days. You know what happened after 10 days? After 10 days, the most amount of difficulty and suffering that fell upon Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam started. Meaning when Aimma used to be asked, what cries you? What makes you cry? What makes you have tears of blood come out of your eyes? Was it the suffering of Hazrat Ali Akbar, Hazrat Qasim, Hazrat Abbas, Hazrat Ali Asghar? Was it the calamity and the suffering of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They all would reply, Asham, Asham, Asham. And guess what we do? As soon as it's 10th Muharram, Alvida, 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 goodbye, 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 we go to our houses. The suffering which is the greatest for Ahlul Bayt, we do not participate. Okay, so a person dies. Now what? The crushing of the grave can help you to get those extra credits. If that doesn't help in Barzakh, that will help you. All the punishment for 1,000, 10,000, 15,000 years, 100,000 years, doesn't matter. It depends on you. How many extra credits you needed. If that doesn't help, Rose Mahshar, Day of Judgment, extra credit, standing in line for 50,000 years of this time, one day of that. And eventually, when all the pain and suffering and all the punishment is done and over with, you will be given the degree. Here's your degree of a Muslim. Please enter into heaven. So we all are going to go. It's just a matter of time. And it's up to you and me. Are we going to get this degree in this world? Yes. If we don't get this degree in this world, it will be handed out to us, but at that time it would be too many extra credits that we would have to go through. Salawat Pari Muhammad. So three categories of verses. One was mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, worship. Third, test. Alhamdulillah. All these three things you find in Karbala. In Karbala, you find all of these three things. You find the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Specific mercy. What is that specific mercy? The specific mercy of Rahim was given to the Shuhada of Karbala. The martyrs of Karbala. You think when there is 30,000 soldiers and you are but a few, that a person can stand up and say to Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we will not leave you alone. Even if you are cut into 1,000 pieces and burnt, we are not going to leave you alone. That's a very specific mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon those martyrs of Karbala, which was not bestowed upon the people in Medina or in Makkah or in Kufa. But how were they able to get this specific mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were they like us? Were they like the people of Kufa? Were they like the people in Medina? Were they like the people in Makkah? If they were like them, then they should have also received that mercy. They didn't. Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent 18,000 or 25,000 or 40,000 different narrations, letters, telling him different, you know, different topics in those letters, but the common point was, we love you. To the point in the letters were also written, we are your Shia. We need an Imam. We do not have an Imam. I'm only telling you what was written in the letters. And specifically to one of the letters that was written like that, Imam replied, you're telling me that you need an Imam. You should know that Imam is that who follows Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Who in every single dealing is dealing from Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet. From the way of the Prophet. That is an Imam. So did they love Imam Hussein? The people in Kufa? When Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, and I just want to ask for yours, and I'll also pray for the brother who delivered that speech. Alhamdulillah, it was a wonderful speech. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in his blessings and all that. He is given the ability to stay sincere as he was, and that he becomes a source of benefit for the 12th Imam and Imam Masumin alayhi salam. For his safety, please recite aloud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The people convinced Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil that they love Imam Hussein and they will follow Imam Hussein. This is not a small task. This was not a small task. Hazrat Muslim ibn Akil alayhi salatu wasalam was a man who knew the world. He was experienced, he was knowledgeable, he was trustworthy to Imam Hussein to the point if he said, if you tell me to come, I'll come. Here's a masoom Imam who's saying to someone that I trust you so much that if you were to tell me to come, I will come. When people paid allegiance to Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salatu wasalam, they were crying, they were in tears. He said, we love you, Imam Hussein. Do we say we love Imam Hussein? There's a very big difference loving Imam Hussein and being his Shia. And listen to me very carefully now. There were hundreds and thousands of lovers of Imam Hussein at the time of Karbala. There were hundreds and thousands of lovers of Imam Hussein at the time of Karbala, but he only had 72 or 110 Shias. A Shia is someone who's a photocopy of the Imam. You with me? A Shia in character, in speech, in the way that this person lives, is actually a photocopy of his Imam. That when people look at him, look at his way, his character, they end up saying, this must be the Shia of Ali. What do we have our definition? If you wear an akik ring, you're a Shia. We have our definition that a person can be a singer, a person can be an actor or actress in the Pakistani dramas and so forth, and they can still be called what? Shia. Mazallah, because kids are here, a person can be doing fisk or fujur. A person will be doing gunahani kabira. And still this person will be called Shia. Who used to drink? Who used to listen to music? Who used to do all of those things? It was Yazid. May the curse of Allah be upon him. So someone who has those qualities, how can they call themselves to be the Shia of Ali or Hussein? It's very, maybe hard. It's the truth. Maybe it's bitter. It's the truth. Maybe it's harsh. It's the truth. Maybe you feel bad. It is the truth. Shia was Salman Farsi. Shia was Ammar Yasser. Shia was Miqdad, Maysam Tammar, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, Abu Basir. They were Shia. Abu Zar Ghaffari. Habib ibn Mazahir. Ali Akbar. Qasim. They were the die-hard followers of Imam Hussein. And was asked, how do you find death? I find it to be sweeter than honey. I know you are. Are we not on the truth? We are on the truth. I will follow you. If in this process I get death, sweeter than honey. They were Shia. I don't know what's inside of your heart. I am a lover of Imam Hussein. I love him. I love him dearly. And if it was up to me, I would write him letters as well. And I would tell him in those letters that I love you and I need you. But how will I find out whether I'm a Shia or not? How would I find out? Imam Zaman Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Salawat Parde Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Just 5 minutes and we're done. Every year, we write letters to Imam. He's the Hussein of the time. Hussein of the time. And his followers are going to be the same qualities, characters as the followers of Imam Hussein. And the same followers were true followers of Rasulullah. So all the three, the friends are the same. Like the followers are the same. We write, if it's 1 year, 150,000 Shias write, there are 150,000 letters going to the Imam. If you start calculating in the last 1200 years, approximately 18 trillion letters have gone to the 12th Imam. And all of these 18 trillion letters are saying, come, we are your Shia. We are your lovers. We need you. We do not have an Imam. We are being oppressed by the tyrants of today. We are being oppressed by the Yazid of today. We are being oppressed by the system which stands on the same principles as the principles of Yazid. Our little kids are being blown up and cut into pieces in Palestine. There are so many orphans in Iraq that 4 million people have been killed. That in Pakistan there are people who are dying on a daily basis. In Afghanistan, so many of our brothers and sisters, in front of the eyes of the mother, the kids have been snatched, the husbands have been snatched in front of the eyes of the wives. That we are oppressed, we can't even say the truth. We have no one. Come. 1200 years. There are three reasons. And because the time is not there, we will not go into those three reasons. Inshallah, tomorrow. Imagine the heart of a Muslim right now. Try to imagine his heart, where there are thousands of people who are coming and paying allegiance to Imam Hussein, and he finds himself to be the only one or with one friend. His heart is disappointed or no? All of these people who paid allegiance, where are they? I have told my master to come. He is on his way. I am left alone. How is his heart? Is he worried about his two sons? He's not worried about his two sons. He's worried about his master. He's worried about Ali Akbar. He's worried about Qasim. He's worried about Ali Asghar. He's worried about the family of the Prophet who's on their way. He gets arrested. This arrest was so unfair. 500 individuals, one man. 500 people came to arrest one man. They threw stones at him. They even threw fire at him. His wounds, imagine 500 people hit one target. He gets arrested. He's brought He says, I have requests, my dying requests. One is that I have a bit of loan, my sword should be sold, and that loan should be paid. Second request is that once you have killed me, my body should receive a proper burial. Third request is that you tell Imam Hussein, who I've already told that he's coming, tell him not to come. And he was told, we will only do the first request. The last two requests will not be. Meaning what? Imam Hussein is not going to be told, and your body is not going to get a proper burial. And he was told that we are going to kill you in a manner which no Muslim has been killed before. And he said, of course, you are the ones who bring innovations in Islam. Thirst, water in front of him, they would just pour it. To one point, they gave him a bit of water. As he took his mouth close to the bowl of water, because of his teeth being broken, the blood that was coming out of his mouth would go into the water. He tried three times, and the third time he said, there is no water. He's taken up to the top of the castle. Each step, as a Muslim, is getting closer. He's taken upstairs. His neck cut, head thrown from the top of the building into the crowd. His body pushed. His body pushed, that comes on the ground, a thump. And then his body was dragged. His body was dragged in the city. And then his body was hung. As a Muslim, Ibn Aqil, you know, you probably saw your two sons being martyred. But I'm sure you were very proud of them. I'm sure that you were very proud of them because they did not beg for their life. As you. You did not beg for your life, and neither did your kids. When they were told to beg, they said, I've heard from my uncle that you do not beg to anyone other than Allah. The sword is in the hands of that man. The brother watches the other brother's head being cut off. Did he still beg for his life? He didn't. Allah, for the sake of all the efforts that Hazrat Muslim Ibn Aqil did, protect us from the end of Kufis. Give us the opportunity to be able to mourn through our hearts and actions the personalities of Karbala. Forgive our sins in this world. Do not take us out of this world until we are purified. Allow us the ability to be able to go through all of the tests. Give us the ability to become the slaves and the followers of the Imam. Protect all of our ulama, all of our maraji, and have their guidance and light come to us with ease. Protect the Islamic revolution. Give it long life and have it connect with the revolution of Imam Zaman Sattu Salam. Protect it from the insinuations of shaitan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal-Asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-lazina amanu wa amal as-salihati wa tawassu bil-haq. Wa tawassu bil-haq.
Brothers and sisters, Iman.